This program has been described by AudioVision. For information on over 400 video and audio titles, call toll-free 1-866-966-7667 or visit our accessible website, www.audiovisioncanada.com. The contents of this program are protected by copyright and may not be duplicated or used for any commercial purpose without the express written consent of the copyright holders. A Selznick Release. Jennifer Jones and Montgomery Clift in Indiscretion of an American Wife. A Vittorio De Sica production. From the story Terminal Station by Cesare Zavattini. Photographed in its actual settings by G.R. Aldo. With Gino Cervi and Dick Beamer. Music by Alessandro Cicconini, conducted by Franco Ferreira. Screenplay by Cesare Zavattini, Luigi Chiarini, Giorgio Prosperi. Dialogue by Truman Capote. Associate producers Marcello Girossi and Wolfgang Reinhardt. Miss Jones costumes by Christian Dior. Edited by Araldo de Roma and Gene Barker. Technical associate Richard Van Hessen. Art director Virgilio Marchi. Post-production audio James G. Stewart. Sound engineers Bruno Brunacci and Alberto Bartolome. Produced and directed by Vittorio De Sica. Rome, eternal city of culture, of legend, and of love. A letter reads, Giovanni, darling, a few minutes ago I came to the door of your apartment. Beyond that door, you waited for me. A pen continues to write, you and the happiness I have never known. A beautiful, elegantly dressed woman climbs a staircase. Reaching the top, she pauses outside an apartment door. She reaches hesitantly toward a doorbell below a nameplate inscribed Giovanni Doria. Then she withdraws her hand, turns away, and quickly descends the stairs. The letter continues, but I am running away, for I could not take those last steps toward you. Try to understand. Try to forgive. Goodbye, my dearest. I am heartsick, but... The pen hovers above the page. Then the letter is crumpled. In the busy, modern, cavernous train station in Rome, the beautiful woman from the staircase walks briskly. Then stops to consult a train schedule.
Scusa, signora.
Il treno va per Napoli, porta la terza.
I'm sorry, I don't understand.
Che dice?
She walks away toward an information booth.
Please, when does the next train leave for Milan?
Milano. There's one in half an hour at 7.
Then could you tell me what train I could take from Milan to Paris?
Excuse me, why not take the 8:30? That goes straight through to Paris.
No, I'll take the one at 7. Thank you.
When she turns away, four priests approach the booth.
Yes, sir.
The first train for Genoa, please.
7:30.
7:30? Thank you very much.
Thank you.
The woman approaches a payphone, but a man clutching a briefcase is reading the phone book. The man offers her the telephone, smiling. He drops some fruit from his briefcase, then scoops it up.
Pronto? This is Signora Forbes. Is my sister there? My sister? She's out? Then let me speak to my nephew, please.
The man looks on, groping awkwardly with his briefcase, dropping more fruit.
Hello? Paul? This is Aunt Mary. I need your help, dear. Get down one of my suitcases, the largest one, and have the maid put all the things she can into it. I'm at the station. I'm leaving. No, nothing's happened, but I have to catch the plane home from Paris. Oh, and bring my fur coat, too, dear. I'm catching the 7 o'clock to Milan, and I'll be looking for you. All right, then. Hurry, dear.
She hangs up and walks off. The man watches her go and resumes reading the phone book. Mary moves through the station, then pauses in front of a shop. She scans the window, and a child's dress catches her eye. She enters and approaches a counter.
Desidera, signora.
Do you speak English?
No.
Signora!
A woman steps forward.
May I see that peasant dress in the window, please?
A little Sicilian dress. Which size, please? I don't know how your sizes run here. My daughter is 7 years old, but she's tall for her age. Thin.
The saleswoman looks beneath the counter, then pulls out a box. She holds a dress up for inspection.
Is there a wide hem?
Si, signora.
She grows so fast, I'm afraid.
L'espresso per Milano, parte dal binario.
I suppose it'll be all right. Would you wrap it up for me quickly, please?
Meanwhile, in the station, a baggage cart rolls past several young boys lined up against a wall. They begin to communicate using sign language. Then a man leads them away. Later, Mary walks on a crowded platform beside a train, then stands back to allow a baggage cart to pass. She approaches two conductors.
Excuse me, I have no ticket.
You can get it on the train.
Mary boards a carriage behind a tall, stout man who squeezes his enormous bulk past passengers as he searches for a seat. He looks into a compartment, but is turned away by a man with a mustache. But when the man sees Mary, he motions to her that a seat is available for her. Mary squeezes into the compartment past a woman and her two children and takes a seat opposite the mustachioed man. Mary settles back into her seat just as the children start fighting. One of the kids bumps another passenger.
Io non chiedo a questi bambini, scusi.
Ma che devo fare? Devo ammazzarli.
As the mother scolds her children, Mary touches the cloth of the dress she just purchased. And smiles, lost in thought. As reality crowds out her pleasant thoughts, she looks up to find the man with the mustache staring at her. When he looks away, she rises from her seat and moves toward the compartment door. She looks into the corridor just as a buxom blonde girl approaches, showing off her figure, aware that men nearby are leering at her. Mary moves across the corridor and opens a window that looks out onto the railway platform where throngs of people hurry by. A handsome young man appears and hurries forward, his eyes riveted upon her face. She returns his gaze. Mary threads her way through people in the corridor toward steps, then descends to the platform. As she and the young man move toward each other, their expressions grow melancholy.
I waited for you. I was worried.
I'm sorry, Giovanni.
But why? Don't I deserve a goodbye?
I wrote you, but
if I had telephoned to your sister's house, I wouldn't have known.
Here.
She hands him her letter.
I don't want to read what that says. Why couldn't you have told me?
Mary!
A boy runs up, carrying Mary's things.
Thank you, Paul. You are good. Give your mother a kiss for me. And a kiss for you, too, dear.
I love you very much.
No! What happened? Is something the matter with Uncle Howard?
No, no, everyone's fine.
Shall I put your bag on the train?
No, thank you, darling. The porter will take care of it.
Standing off to the side, Giovanni looks at Mary, but she warns him with a glare.
Goodbye, Aunt Mary. I'll miss you.
Goodbye, darling.
With a suspicious glance at Giovanni, Paul walks away, waving adoringly at Mary. Giovanni moves closer to her.
Signori, come up, sir.
He looks at her pleadingly, and Mary can barely meet his gaze.
Goodbye. Good trip. It's been wonderful for me, anyway.
Mary turns toward the train as it begins moving. She watches it go, then she turns back to Giovanni. His face brightens with joy as the train gathers speed. He takes her suitcase and her coat, and they turn and walk down the platform away from the departing train. As they make their way toward the station building, a platoon of red caps push baggage carts across the platform. A porter now carries Mary's things. As the couple pass a ticket taker, Mary turns to Giovanni.
I can't leave the station. I must take the 8:30 for Paris.
Giovanni searches her face, astonished, then turns away, bitterly disappointed.
Right. As you wish.
A vendor accosts them.
Mountain van? A band?
What?
Let's go someplace where we can sit down a while.
Giovanni gestures toward the inside of the station building, and they walk away. The porter looks behind him for Mary and Giovanni, but they've melted into the crowd, so he walks off. The couple moves through a crowded cafeteria, looking for a place to sit. Giovanni motions toward a door that opens on a deserted restaurant, and they enter. Giovanni holds a chair for Mary, and she sits. Then he takes a seat beside her. He flashes her a disappointed look, and she avoids his eyes.
You start to leave Rome after these weeks, this month, after yesterday. Don't you remember yesterday? What did you say to me then?
That I loved you. But that was cruel.
Because it wasn't true, was it? Because you had a ticket bought, you had it in your pocket.
No!
What am I to you suddenly? An old guidebook that you don't really want anymore?
Don't really want? Then you don't know what wanting is.
Oh, don't I?
He hitches his seat forward, gathering his thoughts.
A month ago, just about, I watched you coming down Spanish steps. I was so excited and so happy when you said to me, "Scusi, signor, dov'è l'American Express?"
She beams.
I thought you were an Italian.
Because my mother comes from America doesn't make me less Italian. In this country, it's the men who count. You American women are much too emancipated.
If I weren't emancipated, well, would I have done what I did that day? Let you ask me to a cafe and buy me a coffee?
Several coffees. 3 hours. Why did you come with me?
You didn't look very wicked. I'm not an imaginative woman. It was you. It was Rome. And I'm a housewife from Philadelphia. Well, why did you ask me?
Because when I saw you, I knew what morning was.
She looks at him, lips parted. And he bends his head to kiss the hand that bears her wedding ring.
Oh, darling. Last night I lay awake thinking. I thought about dying. Yes, I thought about that too. Then I thought of Kathy. Her hair. Sweet little neck. Most of all, her eyes. But it was all in separate pieces, like a puzzle I couldn't put together. Giovanni. She's so young. She's grown so fast. She's so gawky. She's got braces on her teeth. She's afraid of the dark. She's a child, my own, and I can't give her up.
If I ever suggested you should give up Kathy, you know I want her to be with us. You know I want us to be together.
You, me, Kathy. That's fine for everyone. He phoned me last night. He sounded... Giovanni. He sounded so vulnerable. So lost. So like a small boy in the dark, calling over and over. Where are you? Where are you? When are you coming home? And I felt as though he knew that I'd been lying to him. Stealing the days from him one by one.
He nods, understanding.
That it's him or me, isn't it?
No. You're young, darling. Much younger than Howard. And there's everything before you. I am Howard's future. Kathy and I.
Excuse me, but you'll have to go elsewhere. We don't open until 8.
Giovanni and Mary rise, and the waiter turns away. The couple crosses the cafeteria. As some people leave, the pair find a seat.
Take off that hat.
Why?
He removes it.
That's a smug little hat. I was starting to hate you. And hate everything you said. But I can't.
You want it?
A waiter stands at their table.
Cognac? Si. Due cognac.
Francese, bene?
The waiter leaves.
Maria. I figured things so differently. They offered me that job at the University of Pisa, where my father taught. And I figured you and I would live at Marina di Pisa, in the house where I was born. You'd like that house. Looks out across the sea. And I'd teach Kathy how to sail.
First, I'm afraid you'd have to teach her to swim.
I can't lie to you. It isn't paradise. I'm not a rich man. I mean, we have to pump our own water from the well. Every time it thunders, the electricity goes off.
But I like candlelight.
When the wind blows from Africa, it's very hot. It gets on your nerves. Everybody quarrels. You and I probably have a lot of quarrels.
Would we, darling? Why?
Well, same reason my mother and father quarrel.
But I thought they'd been so happy.
They were very. Except he was an Italian and he behaved like one. He liked to lead his own life, so he'd go off in the evening and he'd go to a cafe and play cards. Well, Mother thought he ought to be home with her.
So do I. I mean, I wouldn't like it if you went off every evening and left me to...
What? Mend my clothes and cook dinner for me? You wouldn't like that? Oh, I would. Don't forget, I'm an Italian, too, if you didn't behave yourself.
He waves a hand.
I'd beat you.
No. Giovanni, you wouldn't. Would you?
I would. Naturally. Don't start worrying about that now. I'm not going to go off playing cards, not tonight.
He turns his head.
Senta. Come on, let's get out of here. We'll go to my place. Why don't we walk? We'll be cold when we get there. We can light a fire, have supper. At least for a little while, we'll have known what it could have been like.
As they devour each other with their eyes, a waiter brings their bill. Oh. The spell broken, Giovanni stands.
Grazie.
Prego.
Maria.
Uncertain, Mary remains seated.
You don't want to go.
She smiles at him timidly, then rises to join him, and he grins. Together, they leave the cafeteria. As they walk out the door, the four priests walk in.
Four cups of tea.
And 40 lire, please.
One produces an enormous banknote, and the other clerics nod. Outside, something catches Mary's eye, and she stops.
What's the matter?
I forgot.
It's the shop she stopped at earlier.
Something I bought for Kathy. That costume. I left it on the train.
Well, we can buy her another.
Mary smiles nervously and turns away from the window. As they walk away, Giovanni stares at her, concerned. Mary stops again.
Paul! Paul!
Giovanni stiffens as the boy runs over.
Oh, why haven't you gone home?
I just thought I'd look around. But didn't you miss your train?
Oh, I'm taking a later one. I won't have to change trains.
Oh.
Paul looks dubiously at Giovanni.
Paul, I'd like you to meet Mr. Doria, a friend of mine. My nephew.
How do you do?
Unsmiling, Giovanni shakes the boy's hand, then shoots a cool glance at Mary.
Would you like something, dear? A hot chocolate?
Sure.
As the boy looks at him uncertainly, Giovanni stares at Mary.
Do you want me to wait in the restaurant?
Do that, darling. I'll only be a moment.
Good night, Mr...
Good night.
The boy looks at the two uncomfortably and walks off, but then looks back. Mary looks at Giovanni nervously. Nearby, men break into song. From further away, Paul looks back again as Mary glances at the ground.
Now what?
I wouldn't have thought there was a chance of our running into Paul. There he was.
Why did you call him?
It was just that I was so surprised to see him. Anyway, I suppose we'd better face it. Everything seems to be working against us. Goodbye, Giovanni.
He backhands her. As passers-by look on, Mary winces in pain, then looks at Giovanni. Furious, he stalks away.
You don't understand, Cole.
Nearby, Giovanni stops, distraught, then walks past a group of men who stare at him in astonishment.
Come on, let's go.
Mary and Paul hurry off. Meanwhile, outside in a parking lot, Giovanni walks toward a car. He leans against it, then buries his head against his arm. He looks up, anguished. Then starts back toward the station determinedly. Inside the station, Giovanni walks quickly as he searches the sea of faces. Meanwhile, downstairs, as Paul stands beside her, Mary leans against a column.
Hitting a woman!
Darling, can't you forget it? It wasn't at all the way you thought it was. Won't you believe me?
All right, Mary. If you say so. But if it was the way I thought it was, I'd show him.
I know you would, dear.
Upstairs.
Excuse me, the train from Paris.
Track 7.
Giovanni races off. Paul and Mary head for the first class lounge, but it's full of passengers.
Come on, let's go, Paul.
They walk toward the third class waiting room.
Let's rest in here.
In third class, huh, Mary?
What difference does that make?
A woman moves her basket to make room for them. They sit down, and Mary self-consciously adjusts her fur stole. The woman is laboring for breath. She reaches out to Mary.
Madam, I'm not feeling well, madam.
Meanwhile, Giovanni strides along a railway platform, looking into the windows of a passenger car. Upstairs with the sick woman.
She needs a doctor.
First aid station down there. I think she has baby right here.
No, my head teach. Ain't she 34 mesi? She pregnant. Only 4 months.
Where do you come from?
England, coal miner. No more work coal mine. I've come back Italy.
We'd better take her to the first aid.
When the woman's husband gently helps her to her feet, Mary puts an arm around her and helps her walk toward the door of the room. 3 small boys follow behind.
It's there.
The husband points the way toward the first aid station, and they all move off toward it. Meanwhile, Giovanni continues his search. The platform is engulfed with disembarking passengers. A nurse enters the first aid station. The nurse, the sick woman, and her husband enter another room.
Paul, you stay here and look after the children.
After them?
Yes, Paul.
Okay.
Paul shepherds the 3 boys over to a bench and sits with them. Giovanni is in the hallway outside the waiting rooms. He looks toward the first aid station, but Mary is not in sight. He moves off. Inside.
Poveraccia, viaggia da 3 giorni. È soltanto stanchezza.
As a doctor examines the woman, Mary approaches her husband.
Is nothing serious?
He says she must rest, sleep, but in the bed. She no see bed for 3 nights.
Ehi, su, alzati, che non hai niente.
But surely you could stay in the little hotel somewhere.
Me, yes, but she no one.
The bambini, signor. Must keep money for the new baby.
Mary reaches into her purse, then extracts a wad of bills.
No, grazie, signora. You're much kind already.
Mary puts the money away.
Arrivederci.
Arrivederci.
Arrivederci. Arrivederci. I'll pray Madonna for you.
Mary ponders the pregnant woman's offer, then leaves the room with her husband.
She good wife, good mother, always, always for family, never for her.
Yes, she's wonderful. Goodbye.
As Mary and Paul leave, the three little boys look up. Outside, Mary approaches a concession cart and selects a handful of chocolate bars.
I'll take these. Quanto? Would you like something too?
Yes, thanks.
As Paul makes a selection,
2,000.
Mary pays, then re-enters the first aid station, just as a woman walks by with a transistor radio and two poodles. As the three small boys sit on a bench inside the first aid station, Mary smiles and hands them the chocolate bars. The boys look up at her solemnly as they accept her gift. One tries to eat his without unwrapping it. She bends down to unwrap it for him. He finally tastes the chocolate and smiles. She pats him gently on the cheek, then stands. She smiles at the boys tenderly, then moves slowly toward the door. She enters the hall.
Paul? Paul, I'd like you to go home now.
But why can't I stay till you leave?
You'll miss your dinner. And, well, anyway, Paul, I think I'd like to be alone.
He looks down, disappointed.
I love you, darling. You've been an angel. But I'm all right now, really.
Okay, Aunt Mary.
Tell your mother I'll write from Paris. And I'll write you too, darling.
You will? You promise?
Yes. If I tell you something, will you keep it a secret?
Of course. You can trust me. You know that.
I'm going to ask your mother if she'll let you visit us for Christmas.
Oh, Aunt Mary.
He hugs her enthusiastically, and she's taken aback.
Goodbye now, darling.
Christmas. Gosh.
Run along now, dear.
He kisses her ardently on the neck.
Goodbye, Aunt Mary.
She gives him a peck on the forehead.
Goodbye, darling.
Elated and grinning, he backs away from her, then turns and walks off. Mary's face hardens as she heads toward the platform. As she removes her hat, she encounters a pack of soldiers walking toward her and endures their lecherous looks as she walks through the group. As clouds gather in the evening sky, she drifts aimlessly down the deserted platform. Back in the bustling station, Giovanni spots Paul.
Hey, Paul!
Paul stops and turns, annoyed.
Paul, where's Maria?
Paul looks down sullenly.
I don't know.
What do you mean you don't? You don't know. You were together.
That's right.
Well, where did you leave?
I don't remember.
Listen, Paul. I must see her. I must see her. Just please tell me where you left. Please.
I won't tell you anything.
Giovanni turns and walks away from the boy. Paul pauses for a moment, then runs back the way he came. He rushes to where he said goodbye to Mary. On a railway platform, Giovanni searches the windows of the train to Paris. Paul enters the first aid station, then exits. As he walks off, he encounters a group of marching soldiers. He follows them. Meanwhile, Giovanni reaches the end of the Paris train and walks listlessly past the locomotive. At the front of the train, he pauses, looking around. He turns away, but something catches his eye, and he looks back. He sees Mary leaning against a railing several tracks away. He strides across the platform, then steps onto the tracks. Mary looks at him coldly.
Maria!
Then turns away.
Maria!
Giovanni runs across the tracks, just as a train pulls into the station. Giovanni races in front of the train, as Mary watches fearfully. Bystanders warn him of the approaching train, but Giovanni sprints just in front of the locomotive to safety. Railway workers surround him, but he ignores them, his eyes fixed on Mary. As she looks at him, relieved, he steps toward her, then stops in front of her and stares at her, breathless. He leads her away from the edge of the platform, unable to take his eyes off her. She gazes at him, smiling. They move out of the way of disembarking passengers. Mary holds his hand against her cheek, then kisses it. He does the same with hers, his eyes smoldering with intensity. The moment is shattered when another wave of passengers pushes toward them, sweeping them along in a tide of humanity.
I want to kiss you.
As passengers crowd toward an exit, Giovanni leads Mary off a low platform, and the pair cross tracks toward a darkened rail car. A railway worker looks at them curiously as they stop beside the car. Then he moves on. But the worker stops and looks back, just as Giovanni opens a door on the rail car. He watches as Giovanni jumps up. Giovanni helps Mary aboard the rail car. Inside, he checks compartments until he finds one that's open, and the two enter. They kiss passionately.
Oh, my darling, will you forgive me?
There's nothing to forgive. I'm the one.
I want you to be happy. That's all I want. I'll let you go. I'll never see you again. But I want you to be happy.
Are you crying, Giovanni?
She looks deeply into his eyes, then kisses him hungrily. She glances aside and sees a locomotive passing nearby, but the crew doesn't see them. Giovanni pulls her onto a seat in the compartment, out of sight. She rests her head on his chest, and he strokes her hair tenderly.
I could fall asleep. The warmth of you near me. The sound of your heart saying
what?
Outside, night is falling. Mary kisses him, drawing him to her.
This morning I woke up, scarcely dawn. I couldn't wait to see you, hear your voice. I wandered through the streets, like a sleepwalker. It was raining in this morning, and I hoped the rain would wash it away. This needing you. Wanting.
You think the rain can do that?
He kisses her, and she pulls him toward her. Outside, a train passes. The railway worker approaches the car, waving others forward. One is a policeman. They climb aboard the rail car. Inside, the men walk along the corridor as they check the compartments by flashlight. The lovers are caught.
Giovanni!
The two look up at a frowning railway official.
Prego, vogliono scendere.
Giovanni stands and follows the official into the corridor. The compartment door is closed, and Mary cowers on the seat, watching, as another man makes faces and leers at her through the glass. While Giovanni and the official talk, Mary shrinks back into the darkness and hides her face. Giovanni notices the leering man and shoves him away, then opens the door.
What is it, Giovanni?
It seems we're criminals. We have to go with them to the commissariat.
Please.
Giovanni nods. Mary rises, worried.
Giovanni.
Don't be worried. Nothing's going to happen.
It's all right, Giovanni.
They enter the corridor and walk along it, escorted by the officials. Outside, Giovanni helps Mary down to the tracks. Inside the station, Mary winces as other railway workers look at her knowingly. Giovanni takes one of the officials aside.
Look, sir, you can take me to the commissariat, but couldn't we let this lady go? She has to catch a train. I am not the man to talk to.
Giovanni returns to Mary's side.
With order number 12. Mrs. Howard Forbes is kindly requested to claim her coat and luggage left with order number 12.
Mary is unnerved.
Letto confermato, la di Giulio.
A man enters the police station.
The commissioner. Stand up.
They stand.
Porfino Zuri.
Buonasera,
Porfino Zuri.
Avanti.
Set.
Mary and Giovanni enter the commissioner's office. The commissioner scans their documents.
Si accomodino.
He beckons the couple forward. One of the policemen leaves the room.
Sit down, Mrs. Forbes.
Mary obeys.
Why are you to the station?
This lady's here to catch a train.
Where to?
Paris.
Are you separated from your husband?
No.
Any children?
No. Yes, one.
Does your husband know that you are in Rome?
Yes.
A policeman enters carrying papers, which he gives to the commissioner.
Io sottoscritto. ID undersigned, Giulio Vallardi di Giuseppe, Chief Brakeman at the Rome station, testifying good faith the following. At 7:30 p.m., while on a tour of inspection, I found in a third-class compartment of an empty car a man and a woman who were...
He looks up at Mary, who avoids his gaze.
He proceeded to arrest them and they brought them to this police station for the appropriate measures. A man and a woman who... Then it is only a question of your fine.
I'd be glad to pay anything.
Oh, but this is a different matter. This is not a ticket. This is a formal charge. Tickets you can pay to a police agent. But on a formal charge, the penalty must be determined by the judge. There must be a trial.
Mary and Giovanni look at him with dismay. The commissioner turns to the policeman.
This lady is married. She has a child. If such a statement is made public, I think the consequences would be very bad for her.
But all this work, we made such an effort.
What time does your train leave?
8:30.
A clock reads 8:20.
Do you still plan to take it?
Giovanni turns to Mary, whose face is in turmoil. Observing this, the smoker smirks. Mary fixes her makeup in her compact mirror. The smoker stares at her, sniggering. Giovanni sees this and moves to block the man's line of view. Meanwhile, the policemen huddle around a man taking notes. Giovanni rises and walks toward them.
My friend has to catch a train in a quarter of an hour.
The policeman shrugs, then talks to another official.
There's anything to be settled. Settle it with me.
The train with the president is coming in. Then the commissioner will come back to the office. We are taking down the evidence. After that, it's up to the commissioner.
Look, can you not get it through your head? This lady is going to miss her train.
And can you not get it through your head that this is a crime?
A crime? What do you mean a crime?
Talk to the commissioner.
What do you expect out of this? A medal?
Giovanni.
Giovanni looks at Mary. Then walks toward her, frustrated.
I don't know. I just seem to cause trouble.
Giovanni.
Hearing the music, policemen rush excitedly to the windows and part curtains to watch a procession pass by. The smoker jumps up to see, but is ordered back to his seat. Paul is among the onlookers. Mary turns away from the window, hiding her face. A policeman draws a curtain, concealing the couple. Giovanni sighs with relief, and Mary relaxes.
He didn't see me, thank heaven. Paul. He would never forget.
Paul follows the procession away from the police station.
Mrs. Howard Forbes. Mrs. Howard Forbes is kindly requested to go to the baggage room to claim her coat and luggage left with porter number 12. Mrs. Howard Forbes is kindly requested to claim her coat and luggage left with porter number 12.
Mary is unnerved.
Letto confermato, la di Giulio.
A man enters the police station.
The commissioner. Stand up.
They stand.
Buonasera, dottore.
Buonasera,
dottore.
Qui.
Maggi.
Buonasera.
Avanti.
The commissaire.
Mary and Giovanni enter the commissioner's office. The commissioner scans their documents.
Si accomodino.
He beckons the couple forward. One of the policemen leaves the room.
Sit down, Mrs. Forbes.
Mary obeys.
Why are you to the station?
This lady's here to catch a train.
Where to?
Paris.
Are you separated from your husband?
No.
Any children?
No. Yes, one.
Does your husband know that you are in Rome?
Yes.
Signor commissario.
Cos'è?
A policeman enters carrying papers, which he gives to the commissioner.
Io ho sottoscritto. ID undersigned, Giulio Vallardi di Giuseppe. Breckman at the Rome station, testifying good faith the following. At 7:30 p.m., while on a tour of inspection, I found in a third-class compartment of an empty car a man and a woman who were...
He looks up at Mary, who avoids his gaze.
He proceeded to arrest them and they brought them to this police station for the appropriate measures. A man and a woman who... Then it is only a question of your fine.
I'd be glad to pay anything.
Oh, but this is a different matter. This is not a ticket. This is a formal charge. Tickets you can pay to a police agent. But on a formal charge, the penalty must be determined by the judge. There must be a trial.
Mary and Giovanni look at him with dismay. The commissioner turns to the policeman.
This lady is married. She has a child. If such a statement is made public, I think the consequences would be very bad for her.
But all this work, we made such an effort.
What time does your train leave?
8:30.
A clock reads 8:20.
Do you still plan to take it?
Giovanni turns to Mary, whose face is in turmoil.
Yes.
Giovanni is stunned. The commissioner holds up the evidence statement, looks at the policeman, who nods, and tears it in half. Mary breathes a sigh of relief. The commissioner hands Giovanni his identification.
Good journey, signora.
Mary takes her passport from him. Mary and Giovanni leave the commissioner's office. They quickly make their way out of the police station. In the train station, they walk together, staring straight ahead and not touching. They pass soldiers in ceremonial uniforms. Office, where they approach a counter attendant.
Avete una valigia e una pelliccia della signora Forbes. Avete annunciato che l'altro palato. Presto.
The attendant returns with Mary's suitcase.
Documenti per favore.
Identification.
She shows him her passport. Satisfied, he returns it.
Verificare, prego. Check.
Giovanni opens the case to check it and sees a picture of Mary's little girl and stares at it. Mary sees him staring and looks away uncomfortably. Together, they leave the porter's office. A station clock reads 8:25.
Paris, what will you do? Take the next boat?
I thought I'd fly. That way I'd be home by Sunday.
Will you cable me?
No, Giovanni, we must. No cables. No letters.
Just say, arrived safely.
He checks another clock. It's 8:26.
Will we go right to Philadelphia?
I think so. You will take that post, please. At the university. Won't you, Javon?
He stares at the ground, stone-faced.
You live in the house that looks across the sea.
Yes.
They walk up to a conductor.
Un letto libero per Parigi.
A single room, if you have it, please.
I don't think so, madam. I'll have to ask the other conductor.
Mary and Giovanni fidget uncomfortably. Meanwhile, the clock reads 8:27. Then 8:28.
The
train.
I only take a cup of coffee.
Well, you can get an attendant to bring you a cup of coffee.
Yes, I know.
The conductor approaches.
I cannot give you single, but another lady has consented to share a compartment with you, if you wish.
That's very kind of her.
Your passport, please. You better get on. The train is about to leave. It's compartment number 7, in the next car.
Great.
They move quickly toward the car. Both are tense. When they reach the car, Mary looks tearfully at Giovanni, then climbs aboard, and he follows. A porter leads the way down the car's corridor.
Here. This is compartment 7, signora.
A middle-aged woman is in the compartment.
Grazie.
Prego.
Mary turns to Giovanni and searches his face, fighting back tears.
I guess maybe I better be getting off.
No, dear. It'll begin soon enough. The wondering.
All my life I wonder. Where is he?
Where? Just this moment. Just now. What is he looking at? What is he thinking? Is he well? Is he in love? Is she beautiful?
He is in love. And she is beautiful. Oh, I'll never, never.
As Mary turns away, crying, a porter tells Giovanni that the train is leaving the station. With a last look at Mary, he tears himself away. He walks to the door of the car, jumps down to the platform, and falls. His face contorts with pain. And he looks up at the departing train as it leaves the station. A bystander helps him to his feet.
Are you hurt?
Giovanni brushes himself off. He stares after the train as the last car disappears into the darkness. Giovanni turns away and walks listlessly down the platform toward the station. This described version of Indiscretion of an American Wife was created by Audio Vision Canada. The narrative description was written by Peter Agnes, narrated by Valerie Hunter, and produced by Marco Sorin. For other described movies and audio cinema presentations available from Audio Vision Canada, call toll-free 1-800-567-6755. Cast: Mary Forbes, Jennifer Jones, Giovanni Doria, Montgomery Clift, Police Commissioner, Gino Cervi, Paul, Dick Beamer.